WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday edition of Current Sports. It is May 12, 2017, right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We've got a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there to close out the work week. It is absolutely fabulous outside here in Mitten, Michigan, about 70 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful. And we are so honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about the Michigan State softball team getting a huge win in its home opener yesterday in the Big Ten tournament at Alumni Field out in Ann Arbor. Jackie Joseph and her squad coming back in the late innings to beat the Indiana Hoosiers. We'll talk about how they did it, and we'll preview a bit, of course, Michigan State's matchup now against rival Michigan. Yes, in Ann Arbor around 4:30 p.m. first pitch. We'll talk about that. Also, we will finally get to the Plaxico Burress Players Tribune article in which he wrote a fantastic letter to the NFL draft class, a very real, in-your-face, honest letter. We'll get to that. Also, it's Friday, and today we bring you the second edition of the Swap Meet with James Moore, former Michigan State football great and, of course, founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. He has another motivational topic to bring to you all, so you don't want to miss that. Also, it is our pre-Mother's Day show here on Current Sports. We'll have some Mother's Day tributes to you all. And you know what? We want to encourage all of our listeners out there to give your very own tribute to your mother. That's right. We want you to call in and give a shout-out to moms. Call in by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You also know that you can weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even by tweeting us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. And we will reflect a bit like we do each and every Friday here on our airwaves, bringing you some of our favorite moments, segments, interviews, and maybe a few stories that we did not get a chance to highlight with our Reflection Friday segment. So as you see, a jam-packed Current Sports. Let's stop wasting time. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, and we start with, of course, the Michigan State softball team. What a comeback it was at Alumni Field for the Michigan State Spartans, who now sit at 30-21, opening up the Big Ten tournament yesterday afternoon with an 8-7 come-from-behind dub over Indy, trailing 7-4. Heading into the bottom of the sixth, the Spartans rallied for four runs, capped by a two-run pinch-hit double by Jordan Davis that gave the Spartans the go-ahead run. Michigan State, the 7-seed, takes on number 2 Michigan today at 4:30 p.m. We'll have more on that come-from-behind dub. What a play by Jordan Davis. You'll get to hear from her in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. The Michigan State baseball team will hit the road for its final Big Ten Conference Road Series, traveling to Lincoln, Nebraska to take on Big Ten standings leader Nebraska in a weekend series. And the Spartans, get this, first ever trip to Lincoln. Today's opener is slated for a 7:35 p.m. Eastern Time first pitch, while Saturday's game will take place at 3:05 p.m. And then they will wrap up the thing on Mother's Day at 1:05 p.m. Sunday's start time was moved up an hour earlier. MSU and Nebraska have a short history, and this is only the third regular season series between the Spartans and the Cornhuskers, with both of the previous two coming in East Lansing. Michigan State is coming off a pair of midweek wins over in-state foes, edging Western Michigan 7-6 on a walk-off dub for MSU Tuesday night at the home of the Detroit Tigers at Comerica Park, before erupting for an 11-6 win over Eastern Michigan University on Wednesday at home. Nebraska is riding a 5-game win streak. Big series for Jake Boss and his team. The Michigan State track and field team heads to University Park, Pennsylvania, for the 2017 Big Ten Outdoor Track and Field Championships that start today and will last all the way to Mother's Day. Now, the 3-day meet will take place at Nittany Lion Outdoor Track on the campus of Penn State and will feature the top student athletes from the 13 Big Ten schools participating in track and field. The meet opened today at noon with the multi-event competitions. The decathlon kicked off with the 100 meters, while the heptathlon followed at 12:15 p.m. with the 100-meter hurdles. Now, Friday features finals also of the men's and women's hammer throw, women's pole vault, and the men's and women's 10,000 meters. The Spartans will be led in University Park by, of course, the upperclassman. Senior Alexis Wiersma looks to improve upon her third-place finish in the 5,000 meters at the Big Ten Championship last year. Junior Caitlin Daniels is a former Big Ten champ in the discus. Tom Izzo was the commencement speaker at yesterday's 59th Lansing Community College graduation ceremony, which took place at the Breslin Center. Quote, "There are a lot of different ways to get where you want to be. Don't be afraid to dream big. Dream real big," end quote. That was a direct quote from the speech that Tom Izzo gave yesterday. A great message. I saw a few snippets from it. Also want to give a big shout out to my former coworker, Jane Aldrich, who is an LCC graduate who reported, of course, and anchored for WLNS-TV6 for 3 decades. Jane was honored by LCC as its 2017 Distinguished Alumni. Great to see Jane doing even bigger things post her work career at Channel 6 News. Thursday, the Michigan football program announced a third staff position endowed by a donor, the Matthew and Nicole Lester Family Football Defensive Coordinator. So I guess you can't say just, hey, this is who the defensive coordinator for U of M is. You have to say the Matthew and Nicole Lester Family Football Defensive Coordinator. Yes, a U of M spokesman said the gift amount is expected to remain private, so we don't know how much the Lester family donated to get that name. But it joins the head coach position endowed by Jay Ira and Nikki Harris with a $10 million department gift, and the offensive coordinator spot endowed and named by Sanford Robertson, who donated $3 million. Interesting stuff there. All right, Mike Trout's return to the lineup wasn't enough to spark the Angels on Thursday night, as Justin Upton and Andrew Romine homered to back a dominant start from Michael Fulmer, lifting the Tigers to a 7-1 series opening victory at Angel Stadium. Now, the Tigers entered Thursday with a 3-17 mark at the Big A since 2011. The Tigers have not played well out there. Less than a week after making his best start of the season, Fulmer again turned in a dominant performance, holding the Angels to one run on 3 hits, allowing only an RBI double to Yonel Escobar. Now, right-hander Jordan Zimmermann will toe the rubber against the Tigers at Angel Stadium tonight at 10:07 p.m. He is coming off a no decision last week in Oakland, in which he allowed 4 runs through 5 2/3 innings of work. So Jordan Zimmermann will be the starter for the Tigers at Angel Stadium tonight. All right, Gerard Davis is under contract and ready to begin his career with the Detroit Lions. The Lions officially signed Davis, the first-round pick in last month's NFL draft, to a four-year contract before the start of rookie minicamp today. Davis is expected to start at middle linebacker for the Lions this fall and will take part in minicamp with the rest of the team's draft picks, undrafted free agents, and a number of tryout players today through Sunday. As the 21st pick in the draft, Davis will get a slotted contract worth about $10.4 million that includes a team option for the fifth year. And last but not least, sad news coming from the camp of the Detroit Lions. Yale Larry, a Detroit Lions defensive back, punter, and return man who was one of the best football players of the 1950s, has sadly passed away at the age of 86 years old. A 9-time Pro Bowler, Larry was an important member of the Lions' last three championship teams in 1952, 53, and 57. The Lions drafted Larry in 1952, and he had four INTs as a rookie and also punted and returned kicks. And he helped the Lions win the NFL championship game. In his second season, the Lions again won the NFL championship with Larry intercepting five passes and again punting and returning kicks. Again, Yale Larry, dead at the age of 86 years old. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you can do so by simply dialing 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
With the pinch hit and the game winner. Jordan, tell us about that special at bat.
Coach told me to start swinging a bat, so I just got up and took a couple swings, and I've been in a pinch hit role for most of the season, so I've become like comfortable in that position, and I just went up and took it one pitch at a time, and when I got to two strikes, I trusted my plan and just trusted it and just let it happen.
Jordan, talk about where your team is mentally. You live to see one more day. You're fighting in this tournament, and offensively, you all come through big.
Yeah, our team has just come together so much, physically and mentally, and we're such a family, and we just want to fight one pitch at a time and trust our plan and trust our core values, and we're just here to work.
Now, you mentioned family. You get a hug right there from your head coach, Jackie Joseph. You're also showing off the dance moves in the dugout. Everybody having a good time in Spartanland.
Yeah. Yeah, we have fun in the dugout. We love each other. So we're just glad to fight another day in the Big Ten tournament and just try and get as many games as we can out of this amazing team.
Jordan, talk about looking forward and looking ahead at your game tomorrow. How do you want to attack Michigan?
I think that we just need to attack Michigan one pitch at a time. I think that we have a really explosive offense, and when we're working together and we're vibing well, then we're pretty much unstoppable. So we just need to keep working together, and our pitchers just need to work one pitch at a time, and I think that we'll be great. We just need to focus and trust our plan.
And Mama used to say, take your time, young man. And Mama used to say, don't you rush to get old. And Mama used to say,
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. It is Friday, or Fri-yay is what I like to say. May 12th, 2017, a big shout out to all of the moms out there currently listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Mother's Day is Sunday. I really hope you guys out there have planned accordingly, knowing that Mother's Day is Sunday, right? That you've done your shopping, that you got mom a nice card, that you got mom some flowers, maybe some chocolate, and whatever present she asked for this year or that you think she wants this year. Shout out to my mom. You know what? Not right now. I'm going to give her a shout out later on this hour when we have our Mother's Day segment. We're asking you all to call in with Mother's Day taking place on Sunday. Give her a shout out live here on the air on Current Sports. Why not, right? I think she'll like that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also do so via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us, right? And we'll relay the message to moms. Tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. Can't believe that Mother's Day is just 2 days away. Crazy stuff. I want to start today's Current Sports, though, by showing some love to the ladies. That's right, the Michigan State softball team. And what I thought was going to be a loss for the squad, seeing as though, if you look at how that game started yesterday on Thursday afternoon, Michigan State was behind, right? Trailing 7-4, heading in the bottom of the sixth inning. But then all of a sudden, the Spartans rallied. They did not give up. Jackie Joseph showing so much emotion in the dugout. Somehow, some way, Michigan State found a way to top the Indiana Hoosiers. A team, actually, that they had beaten. So they've now played Indiana four straight times because they beat Indiana in a three-game series before the Big Ten tournament even began out in Alumni Field in A Squared. They took that series 2-1 on May 5th. Well, I should say May 6th, 7th, and 8th, right? They lost the first game 1-0 and then won games 2 and 3, 6-5, and then a shutout win 8-0. So they come from behind to win 8-7. And how big was Jordan Davis? You heard Jordan Davis there live on the Big Ten Network, sort of talking about what her emotion was like approaching that late inning situation. It was a two-run pinch-hit double by Davis to give the Spartans the go-ahead run. They immediately begun celebrating, and it was cool because during the broadcast, you see Jordan Davis talking to the announcers on the Big Ten Network, and then there was a cool moment where Jackie Joseph runs over and gives Jordan a hug, saying, "Thank you. Thank you for the win. We can now move on to play our rival, Michigan." Michigan at its home turf at Alumni Field. That game will take place at 4:30 p.m. A big, big game there. But my, oh my, what a difference a few years make, right? Because get this. I mean, if you evaluate this squad, if you evaluate how this year has gone for Jackie Joseph and the Michigan State softball team, it is a year of historic proportions. Because to put things in perspective, Michigan State right now sits at 30-21. You have to turn the dial back to 2007. 2007, people. That was the last time that Michigan State softball posted a winning record. The last time MSU softball was above 500 for the season. And now getting win 30. Again, the first time in 10 seasons that Jackie and her squad has done that. And I briefly acknowledged a few players who were honored due to the Big Ten postseason awards. On Wednesday earlier this week, I should say, the Big Ten announced its postseason softball awards, and three Spartans each earn honors. Those Spartans are junior Leah Forster. She was named first team All-Big Ten and made the conference's all-defensive team. Also, sophomore Caitlin Evelyn was named second team All-Big Ten. And shout out to junior Mackenzie Long, who was one of 13 honorees for the Big Ten's Sportsmanship Award, because sportsmanship means a lot as well. I feel like we kind of put that on the back burner as well. So shout out to Mackenzie Long as well. But what a season this squad is having. And I really enjoyed the article that was put together by Lansing State Journal writer James Edwards, because he did a great job of sort of putting in perspective just how historic this season has been for Coach Joseph and her troops. I love how he puts in perspective how the last time, back in 2007, when Michigan State had a winning season, junior Bridget Rainey, she was 11 years old, sophomore Ebony Eccles and freshman Jordan Watson were both just 9 years old. So they had no idea that eventually they would be a part of this program and would be a part of sort of turning around things for Michigan State softball. And looking at the success that head coach Jackie Joseph has had with this year's squad, I can't help but think about how 2 years ago, what was leading headlines, a negative glaring headline that was centered on this squad, happened to be the Michigan State softball investigation back in 2015, in which after an independent investigation that lasted about 2 months, Michigan State softball coach Jackie Joseph and assistant at the time Jessica Bogracus had both been cleared by school officials of any wrongdoing following former player Alyssa McBride's allegations that both Bogracus and Joseph had conspired to purposely hit her during practice, right? And we talked about that extensively. You know, Alyssa McBride, I mean, she was leading headlines around here because, you know, she apparently felt like both Joseph and Bogracus had intentionally plotted to hit her, unfairly hit her. Well, when is it ever fair to hit someone, right, with a softball? To do that, though, back during a said practice. Negative headlines in which both Joseph and Bogracus were found to have no wrongdoing in. Looks as though Alyssa McBride was just kind of spewing venom for no reason. Maybe she felt salty, obviously, for when it comes to both Bogracus and Joseph for some reason. But both Joseph and Bogracus were cleared of that. But that was a negative headline. So much so that I remember us having a conversation here of when you take that allegation in perspective and also add to the fact that Jackie Joseph's squad had not been successful in recent years, had head coach Jackie Joseph really run her course with the Michigan State softball program. So it is great to see that Jackie Joseph has really put the wheels back on the track when it comes to this program. So a big salute to you, Jackie. Really wishing you guys well as you now move on here in the Big Ten tournament to play your rival, number 2 Michigan, at 4:30 p.m. Looking forward to seeing how that one pans out. Really looking forward to seeing that. Michigan is a squad that, of course, finished second in the Big Ten softball standings this year, a conference record of 20-3, an overall record of 41-10-1. How impressive is that, right? And Michigan is actually riding a 9-game win streak. It is going to be a tall order against Carol Hutchins, who is actually a Michigan State University grad, and she has built quite the resume as the head coach of the Michigan softball program. And we had Carol on the show to talk about her record-setting career. Actually had her, I believe, last year's softball season. It's remarkable when you look at, you know, and compare each team in the Big Ten softball standings, because Michigan, I mean, sitting at number 2, very admirable, right? 9-game win streak. It's a 4-game win streak. Well, I should say 3-game win streak now for Michigan State softball squad. But then I look at the top of the standings, and this is a team that's just completely dominant, right? Minnesota at 22-1. in the Big Ten Conference, 51-3. That's insane, right? 51-3-0 overall, riding a 22-game win streak. Remarkable. Remarkable. So again, Michigan State, Michigan today, 4:30 p.m. at Alumni Field. Should be a doozy of a game. Looking forward to checking out that one. And before we hit our first break here, I want to bring up a topic that I've been really chomping at the bit to get to. And that concerns the letter from former Michigan State University wide receiver great, who went on to have a fantastic career in the National Football League, that being Plaxico Burress, who contributed to the Players Tribune, started by Kalamazoo native, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, Derek Jeter, giving the athlete a chance to really speak on different topics that he or she feels compelled to speak about, and really giving athletes a forum to be a journalist, right? To be a writer. Really love the Players Tribune and what DJ has allowed athletes to do. But Plaxico Burress, this has to be my favorite article written in the Players Tribune so far in its very young history. But Plaxico wrote an article entitled, quote, Letter to the NFL Draft Class, which was published on May 8th of this year. And for those of you that have read the article, I have heard nothing but praise left and right for Plaxico allowing us as fans, as sports readers, as just the general population to really give a firsthand account of what an athlete goes through, what a star athlete goes through after growing up in a tough environment, going to college, becoming big time in college, and then immediately going from a dude who doesn't have a nickel in his pocket to, at the snap of a finger, now becoming a millionaire. Plax takes you through his days at Michigan State University when actually hip-hop legend Master P, he was so good. Plax was so good at Michigan State that he had everybody reaching out to him. But what I found particularly cool is when Plax mentions how Master P gave him a call and said, yo, I'm starting up a sports agency. I want you to ride with me. I mean, just imagine that, right? I mean, I know Jay-Z has his own sports agency up and rocking now, but just imagine that. A hip-hop legend like Master P or Jay-Z hitting you up as a player in college saying, yo, I want you to be a part of my squad. That has to be mind-blowing, right? And your head and your ego has to inflate just a little bit. But I love how Plaque starts this. He says, quote, Dear NFL Draft Class, if you're looking for somebody to feed you a bunch of bleep about how great you are now that you've been drafted, or give you the, quote, don't spend all your money speech, like they are sharing some kind of secret with you, you can just X out of this window right now and move on, because you won't get that here. You can go out into the real world and learn for yourself the hard way. Be my guest. But if you want the juice, if you want to know how it really is, I won't cut corners. I'll give it to you straight. And then Plax goes on to take you through his career. Being that guy, going from a man who once caught the game-winning touchdown in the world's biggest stage of football, the Super Bowl, to then being locked up for about 2 years for doing something incredibly naively stupid, shooting himself at a nightclub. I want to go through just a few snippets from this article that I found to be just really mind-boggling, and that really put in perspective how a lot of these young athletes who instantly go from being nobodies and not having a dollar in their bank account to being instant millionaires, to really go through what happens in those players' environments, right? He goes on to say this, quote, in 2000, when the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted me with the 8th pick, I became a millionaire overnight. I already knew what my first priority was going to be. I had some family members who had fallen on hard times. Some were about to get evicted from their house because they couldn't make rent, so I helped them out. Others also needed money to pay bills, to keep the water on, keep the lights on, pay the mortgage. So I took care of them because they were family. And I was always taught that family was more important than anything. I also had a group of guys, my best friends from the hood. They've been there for me through everything. Real G's. So after I got paid, I bought a big house and they all moved in with me. They were like seven of us and we each had our own rooms. To most people, that sounds crazy. Like I was just giving money away to my friends and family. But I did that for them because those were my guys. I would have done anything for them the same way they would have done anything for me. So I took care of my family, my closest friends, and myself. And you probably think you can guess who was there for me and who disappeared when I basically lost everything. Plax goes on to tell you how family members and distant cousins will come to Plax and say, yo, I got a great idea, a great business venture. Can you send me a loan? I need some help. And Plax, being the generous guy that he is and always respecting family and being brought up that way, would loan crazy amounts of money. I want to fast forward now to the moment that really had a lot of us shaking our heads. A moment that when I heard about it, I said, how can you be so stupid? And many of you probably felt the same way. Let's go to that moment because this is the first time that Plax actually opened up about the moment in 2008 in New York City. Quote, then in 2008, I took a gun into a New York City nightclub and everything changed. I had owned a gun since my rookie year, and I almost always had it on me. But that night, I left my house in New Jersey without my gun and met one of my teammates at an Applebee's to get something to eat. After we ate, we were going to go pick up another teammate before going into the city. But you know how when you leave your house, you have a checklist. You check your pockets like phone, wallet, keys. Okay, I'm good. And if you leave your wallet or your phone at home, you feel kind of naked because you're so used to having it on you. It's a part of you. That's what it felt like that night when I didn't have my gun. I usually had it on me. So that night, before we picked up my teammate and went to the city, I decided to go home and get my gun. Looking back, I realized that carrying a gun gave me a false sense of security. I thought I was protecting myself when, as it turned out, I was doing the opposite. I think that's a very important quote, by the way. He goes on to say, quote, when we got to the club, I got patted down at the door and the security guard lifted up my shirt and saw my gun tucked into my belt. He was like, okay, if you're going to carry a gun, we got to be with you the whole night. I said, all right, cool. So they let me through the metal detector and into the club. My friends and I stood at the bar for like 5 minutes, and the place was packed wall to wall. The security guy suggested we go upstairs, where we could get a table and chill, and it wouldn't be so crazy. So we did, and he led the way. The stairway was narrow and dark, and everything was black. I had a drink in my left hand, and I was walking right behind the security guard. The music was loud, and I could feel the bass thumping the stairs underneath my feet. But I could barely see, and I guess I missed a step, and my foot slipped. My gun came unhooked from my belt and went sliding down my right pant leg. My instant reaction was to catch it before it hit the floor, and I reached down with my right hand to grab it. And I guess my finger hit right on the trigger because it went off. Plax goes on to say that the music was so loud that nobody actually heard the gun go off, but he knew that it had because he saw a flash of fire through his jeans. He goes on to say, quote, I didn't feel anything. So my first thought was, oh, hope I didn't hit anybody. I looked around and not only was nobody hit, they didn't even know what had happened. So I thought everything was cool. Then my jeans started to feel wet. I looked down at my leg. I was wearing a pair of Converse Chuck Taylors, and the toe was completely red, covered in blood. The bullet had gone through the skin and some muscle on my right thigh. It came out without hitting any arteries or bone, but there was a lot of blood. I turned back to one of my teammates and said, we need to go to the hospital. To make a long story short, he goes on to say, yo, I shot myself. Friends thought he was joking, but then they look down and see that his leg is covered in blood, and they rush him to the hospital. And then things begin to turn for Plaxico Burress. His gun had been registered in Florida, where he did have a house at the time, but the registration had expired. It was not registered at all in New York. So his gun wasn't as legal as he thought it was. Mayor Bloomberg at the time showed no remorse. And he was charged in August of 2009 and got sentenced to 2 years in prison. This is a man who went from being an NFL superstar to, quote, basically being put in a cage for 17 hours a day. What a story, folks. I wanted to introduce that snippet to you all because it is a story that I believe every young athlete, regardless of talent, whether or not you feel like you're going to go to the league or not, every athlete needs to read this story because it really puts in perspective just how fragile success is. You could go from being the big man on campus one day to your life and world changing the next. Great article. I encourage you all to check it out. Plax, so honest. And I really hope that a lot of those who are drafted now to this year's National Football League class understand and realize that success needs to be treated with a responsibility that is always, always acting like a head on the swivel. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with James Moore. James will bring to you the second edition of the Swap Meet. You don't want to miss it, folks. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
I want to scream so loud for you, cause I'm so proud of you, and let me tell you what I'm about to do. I know I act a fool, but I promise you I'm going back to school. I appreciate what you allow for me, and I just want you to be proud. I want to tell a whole
show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know when love is sweet?
Dear mama.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. That's a classic right there, Isaac. Tupac, one of the greatest MCs of all time. They actually have a biopic coming out of Pac called All Eyes on Me. And I don't know where they found this dude. I don't know where they found the actor, but he looks so much like Tupac. Both of them could be twins. I really hope they don't fumble this one. You cannot fumble a Tupac movie, right? Just like how I felt about the Notorious B.I.G. movie. Biggie, right? Biggie Smalls, another one of the GOATs, right? Really looking forward to that, but that's one of his famous joints right there. Dear Mama, Mother's Day is Sunday. You want to give a shout-out to your moms right now, Isaac?
Nothing I'd love to do more. In fact, I really am excited because in just a couple of weeks I'm going back, so I won't be home for Mother's Day itself, but I always just look forward to seeing my mom's beautiful face every single time I'm back home. There's nobody I'd rather have raised me, and I'm really looking forward to being back with my mom. Always a good time. She's very outdoorsy, so we'll probably do some hikes, hit up the Gulf of Mexico, do a little bit of kayaking. So some big plans in the way, but at the same time, I love you, Mom. Best mom in the world, in my opinion. So happy Mother's Day to you.
Oh, I'm crying over here, man. Where's my tissue? That's great stuff. And I'm not, you have fun with the kayaking. I can't swim. So I'm like, no, that's like a big X for me. But here's the money question, though. Even though you won't see Mom on Mother's Day, did you get her something?
Yes, I did. Okay. I'm going to keep it on the low right now.
Okay, on the low. All right, I want to put you on blast. I feel you. I have not yet. And sorry, Mom. It's coming, though. It's coming. I'm making the order today. I got you, Moms. So again, we encourage you all, if you want to give a shout out to your mom, you can do so right here on the air. I think that'd be really cool for our listeners to do. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Well, right now, he's just walked in live here in Studio West. I am excited because this is now the second edition of the Swap Meet with James Moore. Of course, Moore is a former MSU fullback great and now founder of the Swap campaign, the Speaking with a Purpose philanthropic campaign. He's doing a great job. James Moore, a fantastic motivational speaker, and each and every Friday he is bringing us some motivational segments and speaking on some issues that he sees in the community and beyond. So here we go. He's ready to rock and roll. Here is the second edition of the Swap Meet with James Moore.
Wow. Speaking with a Purpose.
That's, you know, great stuff.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive. Swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive. Because the power of the tongue is so powerful. If we get to the adults to swap some things out, it'd be easier to help with these kids swapping things out. And it's not for me. The glory is going to go to God, and just to help inspire other people to make good choices.
Hey, thank you once again, Lansing and Spartan Nation and Al and WKR for allowing me to come to you guys with the Swap Meet. This week I was doing some thinking, and I was listening to different conversations that were going on around me at work and at home and at different places around, and everything seemed to be negative. Everything was this, woe is me, woe is this, woe is that. It's all negative. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. Negativity. Negative. We can't survive on negativity. So what we have to do is we have to swap some things out. Swap that negative out for positive. It's not what we say, it's how we say it. It's not what we're thinking, it's what we do. But it really, really bothered me. Just the conversations. And that's why I'm bringing this topic up today. Attitude. Attitude. With a positive attitude, we can succeed in life in anything. With a negative attitude, you will not succeed in nothing. So with that being said, let's talk about this a minute, Al.
So it's interesting because, James, Al, we tackled social media last week, and now we venture into the attitudes of our community today. And I have to ask you, so specifically, when it comes to attitudes in our community and beyond, what demographic do you think needs the most help with this?
Well, what I want to talk about first is because I hear it so much with our young kids nowadays, mm-hmm. Okay? Their attitude, not just being negative, not just being, it's entitlement, basically.
For
with,
sure.
With the kids. But the attitude that we have to have is, the Democrats, it starts with our parents. It starts at home because the kids only do what they see, you know. And I see a lot of kids that are on basketball courts, on the football field. They're not coachable. They're not receiving the coaching that they need to be successful. Mm-hmm. Okay. So with sports, what I got out of it, structure, order, and discipline. And my attitude was good. My attitude was, hey, coach, whatever you need, whatever you need, whatever you need. Well, what the problem is now is our kids nowadays know it all. Our kids think they know it all anyway. They're not coachable. And it all starts at home. So what tends to happen is they are products of their environment. And it really bothers me because you have kids that have a lot of ability, a lot of good things to offer, but they're so negative, mm-hmm. because all they're hearing at home, and this is that, it's negative, 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 negative. And it's not just the kids, don't get me wrong, it's the adults, it's us too, because I'm at work and all I'm hearing from some employees is it's just negative. Is the glass half empty or half full? it's half full to me. Mm-hmm. We have to look at things in a positive manner, because otherwise everything's going to be negative. And you're going to get out what you put in it.
For sure.
If you're talking negative, speaking negative, the power of the tongue, like I stated, the power of the tongue. With a positive attitude, you can succeed in life and anything. With a negative attitude, you will not succeed in nothing.
And to piggyback off of that, yeah, there's a few things I want to address there, because I found it to be so beneficial in my life. Just speaking about me here, James, you know, I'm always a positive guy. Everybody will always tell you that. I'm an optimist,
yeah,
right?
You are.
And whatever you put in that brain of yours, that dictates how you feel on a daily basis. So I'm big on reading motivational books. I'm big on watching motivational movies and just constantly surrounding myself with a positive environment. And you do that with the people you hang out with as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how my grandfather was. I mean, my grandfather was a guy who looked at everything with a glass half full mentality. And to go back to the athlete today, James, entitlement is so big when it comes to this generation, because I feel like there are so many coaches out there who look at the talent of a young athlete, right? And they say, okay, this kid is a player who could possibly put this program on the map. He's a player that can give us a lot of notoriety and possibly help my very own career. And I feel like based on that, that kid gets a hall pass for anything that he may do that is blatantly wrong, away from the field, away from the court, right? Yeah. How many times have we seen that? I mean, Isaac, I can bring up the Jameis Winston incident, right, at Florida State.
Absolutely.
Jameis Winston, this dude went into a grocery store, quote-unquote, forgot to pay for crab legs, right? Kind of giving a hall pass, it's, right? And then the whole student union thing. I mean, he stood on a student union, like a chair in the student union, and I forget what he was. Well, yeah, exactly. Blurting out obscenities left and right. And he got a hall pass for that as well. There's so much enabled behavior that throws logs onto the entitlement fire. And then you have, I mean, as that kid's career progresses, right, and he possibly goes to the NFL.
And it follows him.
It follows him. It definitely does. And it's hard to break that. It's hard to snap that. And it does start, I believe, in the home as well. It starts with the parents as well, James.
And that's my whole point of bringing this up, because I deal with it at my job and in my startup meetings. I talk about, we all have things going on outside of our job, okay? We have jobs, though. So when we come here, we have to leave it at the door and come in here with a good attitude to do our job, because it's not going to get done. And with a negative attitude, it's like cancer. Mm-hmm. It just spreads.
For sure.
But the one thing about it, and I want to be real sensitive about this and let everyone know, it's a process. Things don't change overnight. But what we have to start doing is being aware of what we're saying, of the words that are coming out of our mouths. Because once we start being aware of it, then we can do something about it. Because sometimes people speak and they really don't even pay attention to what they're saying. Look at what you're saying. Look at how you're saying it. Okay? Because it's there. But you gotta be aware of it to make that change. Because I talk and sometimes I catch myself and I say, oh, forgive me, Lord. You know? Because
yeah, right.
It's misery loves company.
Right.
And the more you spit that venom, the worse it gets.
Right.
Okay. My pastor, Dorian Henze in Ohio, you know what he said to me something a long time ago when I was in Ohio before I moved back to Lansing. He says, one thing about it, the storms are going to come. They're going to come regardless.
That's guaranteed.
The key is, how are you going to respond to it when it comes?
I think that's so important, James, because, you know, and I think this has a direct parallel to the topic of last week, because you know what? And Tom Izzo, I have to bring this up because Tom loves to bash social media. He hates Twitter. Mm-hmm. And with his athletes, he's let it be known that some of his athletes, they may go out and have a bad game. And what do? They go on Twitter and they see the general population bashing them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, so-and-so is horrible. Why is he even on the team? These athletes see that. And then what's their response? It's a negative one. They sometimes get, they kind of crawl up into a ball, and when they're faced with that kind of adversity and they see all this negative attention, it does something to them mentally, and bad performances happen week after week after week because of that. And that's the thing. I mean, I think a lot of today's generation, today's millennials, when they deal with that type of adversity, first off, it's unprecedented because social media didn't exist in the 90s and the 80s and 70s and so on, right? So not being able to get away from that negativity and going home and it following you, that's something that we've never dealt with before. And a lot of young athletes, again, they're not really resilient, and it protrudes. Yeah. And it can really become a negative thing. We actually have a caller that wants to chime in right now, Mike. Okay. We've got Mike from Saginaw on line one. Mike, what's up, dude?
How you doing? It's funny, you was talking about Plaxico Burress. I don't know if you read that Charles Rogers story in Detroit Free Press a couple weeks ago.
No, I didn't.
You didn't read that?
No.
Come on, man.
I did not see
Charles
that.
Rogers?
Are you talking about the Charles Rogers piece?
Yeah.
Oh, the Charles. Oh, you didn't say Rogers. Yeah, you just said right. Charles. Yeah. Okay, the Charles. Right. Yeah, of course. We actually had the journalist who did that piece on our airwaves along with James that week. Yeah, of course we did, mm-hmm. Mike. Yep.
Okay, when I was talking about you read the Press Tribune all the time. I just got done reading the one on Nigel Hayes.
Have not seen that one yet.
Talking about he came to college and it kind of. He was a boy when he came to college. Look how aware and up the life and what's going around in this environment. So it's a two-edged sword. You're going to hire some people. It's just like human beings. If nobody's perfect, man, you know, would you rather be like Tiger Woods or Venus or Serena Williams? What would you? Would you rather have Earl Woods as a dad or Earl? Or Richard Williams as a dad. But that's what I'm getting about is I know we look at these athletes and they doing all wrong. The one that lately I'm thinking about is Western Michigan, where one of these, the basketball team went and robbed and killed somebody. Now, that's pathology right there.
Yeah, and I believe that story is about. I know we talked about that story. Like, that was like 2 or 3 years ago. I remember that story coming across.
No, it just happened this year. You know, remember
that happened this year.
Team?
Oh, that may have been the Eastern Michigan story. I'm talking about the Eastern Michigan story was 2 or 3 years ago. I haven't heard about this new story. Have you heard about that, Isaac?
But, yeah, I think about 6, 9 months ago, Mike, huh?
To hone in on this, Mike.
The Western Michigan basketball team, yeah.
Mike,
the
I think.
Players on the team.
To hone in and get this on track here, I think the point you're making is, I think, that especially to piggyback off the whole Earl Woods and Venus and Serena's father, they instill discipline in the household, James. Yeah. That is something that is such a touchy topic today because if you go too far, people look at you like they did Adrian Peterson, yeah, right? Like, in that whole situation.
Yeah, like
so how do you know, instill discipline without being physical, I guess you can say, because that is something that is an old school mindset that really isn't acceptable in today's 2017. It's tough. It really is. It's tough to parent here in 2017.
Oh, yeah, it's really tough. It's really tough.
But think about this, Al. If you go too far, if you're a male, they'll be saying that you're being violent towards the kids. And
exactly.
And
that's the point, Mike.
If you and the wife or your significant other girlfriend have a disagreement, you could be like Jordan Lewis. You know, these guys are just in a position, and all people looking at their salaries and how much money they make and what kind of lifestyle they can have because they're making a lot of money. But I'm just looking at, you can, Sonny, yeah, I mean, I like to see on Players Tribune, like, look at all these guys that play football. In
right,
the
Mike,
70s
Mike,
and 80s.
I hate to cut you off, we're short on time, though. But I want you to chime in. Call back on Monday. I definitely want to get.
I want you to get back on the show
to talk about this topic. Thank you, Mike.
I appreciate it.
But yeah, going back to the question I posed to you, James, how do you discipline? Because we're really short on time here. But how do you discipline a child?
And you have to have that open line of communication. It starts when they're 2 and 3 years old. The little stuff when they want to touch this and want to touch that, and oh, it's so cute, it's so cute. You have to start talking to them, explaining things to them. Talking to them at an early age.
Because you don't have to be physical in order to instill discipline.
But you have to be stern and you have to be consistent.
Right.
That's all kids want across the board is consistency.
Right.
And what the attitude is, you have to feed that attitude. a positive attitude. You have to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sponge. The brain is like a sponge.
Right.
It's going to absorb what it's hearing, what it's seeing, and what it's doing. All right? So we have to feed that. Otherwise, it's going to become up and down, and depending on how they're feeling that day. But with a positive attitude, you can succeed in life in anything. With a negative attitude, you will not succeed in nothing.
Well, I hope this segment has breathed some positivity into our listeners. James, how can folks find out more about the SWAP campaign?
Hey, just at WKAR.org.
There you go. We have information there.
We have all the information there.
And we want to encourage our listeners out there to weigh in. If they have a topic idea for James, just leave us a comment right there on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. We'll relay the message and see if we can make something happen. James Moore, thank you so much.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate it. Hey, let's have a great weekend, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day to all the people
Mother's
out there,
Day
right?
Happy Mother's Day to everybody, too. Hey.
There we go. Let's hit our final break. We'll come back and briefly wrap up the show.
Hey, my, hey, my, hey, my. Hey, my, hey, my, hey, my.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day just now 2 days away. Isaac, I kind of want to give you the forum here really briefly because as I was watching this, I immediately thought about you being the NBA fan that you are. What in the world happened last night with Mr. James Harden going out with just basically in silence against the San Antonio Spurs? I thought Houston was going to win that series. Pop finds a way yet again. Only 10 points for your boy. What's
Wait,
up?
Who are you talking about?
James, exactly,
who?
Right?
Wait,
yeah, we're still looking
who?
For him.
Yeah.
I think that may
He's
be
missing.
Him right behind you. I don't know. I don't
He's
know where
missing.
He is.
I'm trying to look for him. But yeah, the Spurs defense is just something else for one. We got to be honest right here. No Kawhi Leonard yesterday, and they just picked it up. Jonathan Simmons, guy who rotated through the D-League, tried out for the D-League team, came up. Now he started in a Western Conference playoff game and shut down one of the best scorers in the league. But James Harden, like he said, this all falls on his shoulders. It was his fault. He didn't create enough offense. He didn't stay true to his game. And this is what you get, 10 points as a result.
Very surprising stuff. Also want to note that Tom Brady will be your headline athlete for the new Madden video game, Madden NFL 18. They are calling it the GOAT edition, the greatest of all time edition, and I agree with that. I think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, so I thought that was very cool as well. Mom, I love you. My mom is out in Florida. She moved to Miami last summer to be closer to her family in Trinidad and Tobago. Mom, I love you. I hope you have a great Mother's Day. I'm so sad I can't be down there with you, but you got something coming in the mail. And happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who listen each and every weekday here on WKAR's Current Sports. Have a fantastic weekend. And as always, be easy, people.